Good morning, KKXX listeners. Welcome to another Saturday on Christ Today. You're probably listening weekly, and if you are, that's great. I'm glad you turn in with me every Saturday morning from 11 to 12, and I'm glad that you listen to this show. I hope it encourages you. It's informative and uplifting to the Lord. We want to bring forth the great news, and we have two guests in our studio. Lately, we've been having two guests, and it's really cool to have two guests in the studio, hear from two different people on the same day. So our guest today is John Steffens, and our other guest is Timothy Vincent, and we're going to start with John Steffens. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
How's John doing on this beautiful, bright Saturday morning?
It is a beautiful day, and we have to remember that every day is a gift, and that we want to use it to interact with other people and love the Lord.
Now, if I remember correctly, it hasn't been even 3 months, and you're already back on the show. That's quick, isn't it?
It's a great show. I'm glad to be here.
Today, we're gonna have you dive into some stuff. We're going to have Timothy dive into some stuff.
Good.
So, last time, you shared a little bit about your testimony and about how you came to the Lord, but was there anything that you left out the last time that you want to share today in regards to your testimony?
Yes, I did leave some out, but I think the most important part is that I was antagonistic to Christians. And
like a Paul, which was a Saul, right?
True. And I thought that the faith that they had was baseless. And then as I examined it and looked into it with an intellectual thinking, I found out that it really was a position where there was reason and there was understanding. And that's really the most important thing that I would say is, about this part anyway, that you can come to know God through Jesus Christ and that there is an intellectual understanding that you can have. Any intellectual person can see this after the study of it, and they can realize that there is a very true part to faith, based in a real reality.
And what is that?
There's historical evidence. That's the beginning for a person who is looking at intellectual understanding.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at history. You can see that Christ really was a live person, that he was there. And then you can see the examples of faith, the evidence of faith. And that is why you believe, because you may not see all the steps, but you'll see 9 out of 10 steps leading up to why it is reasonable to believe, intellectually reasonable.
So there's real appearances that come to you or that come upon you that prove to you that Christ is real.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what were some of those that happened to you, if you want to share a little bit?
Well, for me, it was a little complex because I needed many parts of this to come together, and it really took a few years of examination.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a rather long journey, but then I'd been such an unbeliever and hostile to Christianity for so many years. It's not surprising it took a few years to turn my understanding around to why it was a truth that there was a God. God was here on earth through Jesus Christ, and there is a Holy Spirit. All those things, the fundamentals of Christianity.
That began to become made real to you?
Yes.
Cool.
Yes, as you examine the evidence, you have to look at the evidence. There's real evidence historically. There's real evidence for how people's spiritual journey is. And, of course, the Bible is that was the huge part of it for me.
So one of the reasons why, one of the ways that you stopped becoming an atheist or that you stopped becoming an atheist was you dropped your pride.
Certainly, that's a part of it. But I really would go back to reasoning. Yes.
Isn't pride a form of what causes reasoning or what's behind reasoning?
Self-orientation,
mm-hmm. Which is a form of pride.
Yeah.
Cool. That's awesome that you came to recognize that. So when you came to the Lord, was it difficult or was it pretty much a simple thing after your eyes are open to the truth?
As I said, the process took several years. Okay. It was not an easy thing. It probably took 4 years of examining different Christian-oriented materials, books, and reading the Bible, and it showed itself to be true. It was really quite an intense journey.
Wow. Well, that's good news. So today, you've been a believer now for how many years?
15.
And it just gets better and better and better and better and better.
It does. It does. My faith continues to grow, and you see God working in the events around you, and you pray, you ask God through Jesus Christ to show you make things come out and work in a way that is pleasing to Him. These things show themselves. You have to look for it, though.
Mm-hmm.
In the world, we see so many things towards our orientation, whether that is through, call it evolution, call it the intellect of man, and if that is your focus, that's what you're going to see. There's also such a strong orientation to faith once you are willing to look and see this is a way that things can work. Faith and God working in your life is a reality. And those are the things that happen way beyond what we could do intellectually, mm-hmm. way beyond what we could plan. He puts events together in our life and we say, wow, how did that happen?
And yeah.
Yeah.
So you, if I'm not mistaken, have teamed up with a person that's written a book called Hope. And in that book, there is a chapter that talks about preparations because you and me tend to have a little bit of a different theory or opinion or belief when it comes to what's going to happen here in the end days, even though we know we're at the end days. And we may be outnumbered by most of the people that want to focus on one particular aspect, and they call that the pre-trib. But, and I'm not saying whether it's pre-trib or not, because nobody knows, but you wrote a book, and in that book you talk about preparations. So do you want to share a little bit on preparations today?
Yes, I do.
Okay, why don't you talk a little bit about it? And then you're talking, I'll ask you questions.
Yes. I would look at these things historical. And when we go through evidence that is in the past, whether it's through Bible, the things that have occurred in the biblically, we have the stories.
Mm-hmm.
We have things in history where people have been devastated by illness or plagues or famine or military conquest. Natural disasters, of course, is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
An earthquake, a volcano, storms or tornadoes. These things all affect man.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a great technology in these days that has given us security so that we don't have to plan. We don't have to look at, ooh, are we hungry? Well, let's go to the nearest restaurant and have some food. Okay, it's real easy.
Mm-hmm.
Real easy. But there's things that are going on now. Right now we're having some difficulties that could turn into large difficulties with our farming, with our water, with bugs, and even with plagues,
mm-hmm.
such as Ebola. That's one that was a scare that didn't turn out to be anything that was anything of substance.
Mm-hmm.
But it still could be.
It could be.
Now, with all these things that are around us, I mm-hmm. think it's only reasonable to look at what we can do to prepare.
Folks, you're listening to KKXX Christ Today on 9:30 a.m. and 104.5 FM. Once again, this is Christ Today on 9:30 a.m. and 104.5 FM, Life Radio. Your host, Curtis Smith, speaking to John Steffens. Okay, go ahead, John.
And anything we do is really up to our own understanding, our own conscience, is what we are called upon to do. I certainly don't believe in extremes. I'm not at all an extreme person in preparations. But I think to have some of the basics of what we need to survive is a good idea. So if we have wheat, that's good. We can always have bread, a way to cook it, water, salt, and maybe some vitamins, multivitamins. It's pretty simple the way I see it.
Okay. So what are some other things that you, preparational things that you want to touch on?
There's the basic thing is that we have a spiritual orientation towards the difficulties that will confront us if they ever do.
Okay. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
The spiritual is a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and that is something where if your orientation is towards that, you have an outlook that is positive, it's going to be hopeful, it's going to be looking towards the future.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And so that's the first one to have. After that, we do have water. We need water every day to drink. That keeps us healthy. Beyond water, there's food. Beyond water, there's normal things that we need with food, which is a toilet system that works. And then there is first aid. These are kind of the basics of what we need. First aid is always good. What does your conscience call you to collect? What do you know how to use? It's all a bunch of different. It's all up to you.
Yeah.
What are you called upon, feeling called on to do? But some of the basics just to have in your home is going to be very, very helpful. Securing your shelter, having warmth, that's another thing. And then having some of these things to carry with you if you are going to be mobile. If we go without electricity, this is one of those things that we just can't comprehend. How can the electricity go out for a month or a year? There have been several.
Some places have no electricity at all whatsoever, so
yeah.
Anything's possible.
Or they have it on for several hours a day.
Yeah, exactly.
But these are things that it just takes a little bit of preparation. We don't have to go all out with anything. All we have to do is have a little bit of preparation for what we need. Sewing needles are very nice. Thread is very nice. To have our personal hygiene is nice. And everyone has their own ideas of what they need. But have some of it that is extra. Have some put aside. Have some for just in case. Flashlights are nice.
I think they're very necessary.
I do too. So that's it. And yet, let me go one more thing: is a bicycle for transportation. And
what, I have to give up my car? I can't drive no more. What?
We don't know. If
no gasoline? You mean the gas stations are out of business? No gasoline? I can't drive. I got to go to Sacramento. How am I going to get there? I have to ride a bike.
Well,
I'm just teasing with you, John.
If we have a really serious situation, if it lasts a week or a month or a year, any way it is, the gas stations can't pump their gasoline. The banks cannot access cash. Or we can't go to the ATM.
Do you think it's really going to get that bad? Do you think it's really going to go to that point?
All it takes is one little event. Why, I've gone to the store and gone shopping and not been able to buy anything because the electricity went out in the store. It doesn't have to be bad. It just has to be one day or 3 days or a week or who knows.
Makes sense.
A month.
Okay, so let's continue on.
Yes. The other thing is that we want to be able to give. We want to be able to share. We have neighbors. We have family. It doesn't mean you have to give the very best of everything, but if you have a little bowl of cereal when nobody has any cereal or oatmeal, whatever it is, it goes a long way. And eventually the crises will be over. How long it lasts, nobody knows. But we want to remember that we will be remembered for sharing, for giving, for being helpful. And that is what, as Christians, that we do. We orient towards that compassion.
I agree with that. So what else do you want to leave us with or talk with us about before we move on to our next speaker? And in order for us to get back to you, we're going to take a quick little break. Listeners, you're listening to Christ Today on 104.5 FM and 9:30 AM. Christ Today comes to you every week from 11 to 12 on Saturdays, and I hope you're encouraged. I hope you're blessed. I hope you're informed. I hope that you're finding this show today informative and very uplifting. And if you want to leave me feedback, feel free to call 894-7325, 894-7325. I really want to know that I'm being a blessing to you and an encouragement to you. And so 894-7325, give us feedback. Let us know who you'd like to have on the show, if there's somebody you can think of that I haven't had yet. And I don't know if you guys are, if anybody's followed me the whole time I've been on, but I'm going on 40, close to 40. I think this is my 39th broadcast. So I want to just hear how you guys are really enjoying the show. And if anybody's followed me ever since I've been on the air, that would be awesome. Anyways, the number is 894-7325, and we're going to get back to the show. All right, John, we are back with you.
Thank you.
Anything else that you wanted to say that you wanted to share?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Besides these things that are very basic, ask yourself what it is you would like to have on hand. That's really the answer. I don't have the answer for what's coming. I don't know. But a few basic things is what you want to have. Anything beyond that, follow your conscience. The other part I would say is forgiveness is an important part for all these things. As we go through life, we need to forgive. As we go through difficult situations, there's reasons to forgive. And that will reestablish our relationships personally and the relation that we have that is reflecting our Christian relationship with God.
To you, what is forgiveness?
Forgiveness is to not carry the burden of the pain that you've had. Whatever that pain is, you can let it be healed.
Okay. I would also say to the listeners that forgiveness is not holding somebody's offenses against them, but letting them go.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And that's a big part of it, is not holding your own offenses against you, letting them go. Forgive yourself. Forgive those that have hurt you, but forgive those. And you'd say, well, how do I do it? Jesus Christ is in you, then he gives you the ability to forgive. That's another component to grace, is the ability to do what the unmerited favor gives us the ability or is there for. So unmerited favor we have, and now we have an ability to do the things that we couldn't do in our own self or our own efforts, such as loving and forgiving. We have that ability because of grace. So you can forgive. So don't tell yourself you can't. You can. Do you want to? Do you desire to? Anyways, John, anything else?
Well, as a part of that forgiveness, there is love, and that is
Amen.
That is Christian love. It is God's love, and how we have that for other people. But I'll leave that for another subject, another time.
If we get around to it, one of these days, Lord willing, we'll have you back on the show again, and we'll probably ask you some more questions before we go off the air. But I want to turn it over to my next guest. Good morning, Mr. Timothy Vincent.
Hi, how are you?
I am fine. How are you?
I'm okay, Curtis.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about your testimony? Why don't you go into how Timothy came to the Lord and what God has been doing in Timothy's life and what Timothy's doing today? Just share with us your heart.
Well, I'm a missionary pastor now, but I came to the Lord 21 years ago at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, and I accepted on a Greg Laurie Monday night. And
Greg Laurie, you said?
Yeah, Greg Laurie.
Okay. Talk a little bit more into your mic.
Okay.
And then go ahead, continue.
Well, I wasn't saved. My grandfather was a pastor, and so he never sat me down and explained salvation to me, and I grew up in church and different kinds of things, but I didn't have the gospel preached to me until I was 27 years old. And so I wasn't feeling too good back then, and my mother was worried, and so she got me to church, and she realized that if anything had happened to me, that I wouldn't have gone to heaven. So she got me to Greg Laurie on Monday night. About six of those, I accepted and went forward and became a Christian.
Hmm. Okay.
So I kind of, for about a year, I kind of went back to my old ways, and my mother called me on the carpet one day and said, you know, you're a Christian now, you can't be living like this and everything. And so I wasn't too happy when she said it to me, but she was totally right. And maybe a little bit later, something else happened to me, and I started really reading the Bible night and day, and I started studying, and that was 20 years ago. And so now I'm a preacher, and I really work hard and have worked hard to learn the whole Bible intact and about multiple subjects besides the Bible itself.
What are some of those subjects?
Well, when I spent most of my time in Calvary Chapel in the beginning of being a Christian, my pastor was Bob Davis, and he was teaching at Calvary Chapel Bible College, and he was a specialist in cults and isms and so on. what God had me do is he's had me travel quite a bit. I've been in 30 countries in my life. And so
that's
I've seen
lot of countries.
Yeah, I've seen firsthand Hinduism and what Africa has, and I've been in Russia. And so when you see communism working and Hinduism working and Islam and these things, you see pretty quickly that it's something different than what God is. And so between what Bob Davis gave me, studying all the cults and isms, and you can get books on, you know, Kingdom of the Cults or Bob Larson's book on cults. And
you're another listener to Bob Larson. I used to listen to him a lot.
And so, you know, there's lots of ways to study. We, you know, the flood of Noah is not as long as people think. It's by Bible timology, we're only looking about 4,700 years ago. So you figure, if you look on the computer on the web and you look at ancient cultures, the oldest one they say is Mesopotamia, and that's where Abraham came from. And so they say that's about, you know, they estimated about 4,000 to 5,000 years ago, which goes along with the Bible. So, you know, you look and you can study all the world cultures. I believe there's 196 countries on the planet, and you can study what they believe. And so
that's a lot of countries.
Yeah, but, you know, God's got us all on one planet, you know, and our planet, you know, can be traveled around in about a day now with jets and stuff. So, you know, really to study what people believe, I'm preaching to one new person a day, salvation, and so God moves me around and has me reach out to one new person a day. So I'm listening to what they believe. And you look at all the different things that people believe today, but there's only one gospel, there's only one message. And if you put your nose into the Bible and you really study quite a bit, the truth, God promises he'll teach you all truth, is known.
Okay, so it's become known to you over the last few years. So what really stirs you up and motivates you to want to share the gospel with people?
Well, I really don't want people to go to hell, and I want people... I really want people to have God. I really want people to have the love of God. I want them to be in heaven. And it's hard, you know, watching people that don't have Jesus. And, you know, all of us have to accept him at one time or another. And so,
well, we don't have to. We get a choice. we get to. It's a choice, but we don't.
Right, right.
But I wasn't asking your reason for sharing. I was asking what motivates you.
Well, I was trying to explain this, okay. is that I really want people to have Jesus. And, you know, I don't like watching people live unsaved lives. And so that's really, it stirs me up and motivates me to get out there. And, you know, a lot of the problems and ills that we have in our culture come from a godless society. And Billy Graham says, you know, we now have a secular society. You know, we don't have a godly society. And he talks about it and everything. And so... You know, as we see all these different changes in government, and they haven't been, all of them haven't been new. You know, they go back to before I was even born, and a lot of the laws that are being passed in America and the rise of pornography and all these different things, homosexuality and all these different ills, abortion and all these things, people are just taking it too lightly because those are real problems in our culture. And, you know, people are much more into cyber life instead of having real quality relationships with each other and their family. And
So the question I want to ask you is, in motivation, do you have a love for these people? Is that why you share with them? Is because of the love that's in your heart for them? You love them so much that you want to see them in heaven with you as part of your family? Is that the reason why you're reaching out to the lost people? Because
very much so.
Okay.
I mean, for 20 years, I've really reached out. I kind of had a motto that every person that crossed my path, I would do everything possible with them. I reached to help them. And so, you know, sometimes I'm just walking down the street or I'm part of some group or something, and people, you know, with really difficult problems, you know, sometimes they've been in witchcraft, they've been white supremacists, they've been dealing with suicide or whatever, and so I've brought them into my house and I've taken care of them, put food on the table, clothed them, and I start cooking nice meals for them, and I really try and reach them. And, you know, some days, you know, they sit me down, they just tell me, they said, you know, you love God so much, and I can see you love me so much, and, you know, this is what I really think Christianity is, because a good Samaritan, when God talked about love, who is my neighbor, and all these things, you know, the good Samaritan story comes up, and so, you know, when you take people in, and you, or they need a bus ticket, you know, or they need something, and you supply it, and somebody asks you for help, and you're gladly willing to give it with no strings attached, and there's absolutely nothing in your heart that minds giving, especially money. It's tough for some people. But if you really give and with your heart and you put your time into it and you really get involved in their lives and you really spend time with them personally, and more time, more than just simple sometimes meetings or going to lunch or something, but yeah. to actually see you in their house or in your house, and they're living with you, and they see that you're praying for them and you're caring about them, it makes a big difference in people's lives.
That's true. Just like it made a difference in your life.
Yes.
And it took your mom to encourage you to go to a meeting even though you didn't want to go, and you went and you were healed. Now, before you got saved, you were a business owner here in Chico?
Yeah, I own direct advertising, so I had a direct mail advertising company, and I started it in college. I went to Chico State and graduated from there.
So you kind of had everything made for you. So what caused you to come to a point where you – did you lose it all? What exactly happened?
Yeah, I got sick. I got pretty sick one day, and so I was really struggling. And as I said, that led to me. I ended up moving back down with my family down in Costa Mesa. And I lived right across the street from Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. My mom had promised when I got sick, she was worried, so she promised God she'd get right with him. And my mother had gone wayward, and so her father, like I said, my grandfather was a pastor. And so she got right with God and realized that she didn't want to lose her son, and so she got me over to those Greg Laurie Monday nights. And so, you know, I was going, and I, as I told you, took six of them, but I heard what Greg was saying. And I realized that I couldn't live the sinful life that I had been living. I was living, when I had my company, I was living with my girlfriend, and we'd gotten engaged and everything, but I was just not living a Christian life. And when Greg really, through his preaching, was calling me on the carpet, you know, in fear of hell, I knew that I needed to turn to God, and so I did, and I'm just so ever so grateful for, you know, my mother and I sat down and thanked God for the trouble that I went through, and it brought different people in my family to be Christians and to start studying the Bible too.
So what is it that you're doing today besides, or I mean, what is it that the Lord has you doing besides just evangelizing now? What is it that you're taking on or that you're wanting to implement in Chico?
Well, I'm just back from the mission field. I've been back a couple of weeks from Mexico. I was in Africa a year and a half before that.
And how was those two trips that you were on? Did God do some amazing things while you were at these places? What exactly did you experience while you were on these mission trips?
Well, there was quite a few things. I was sent over by my church, Church on the Esplanade, to start a Bible training center in Africa and Zambia. And so I gathered the books up and raised money, and my church bought me a plane ticket to go over to Africa.
And that's so awesome.
When I got to Zambia, I was really welcomed, and so I was living in the mission house where the training was going to be. And so I started handing out the Bibles and with a commitment of reading it. And so then the different pastors that were of the neighboring churches and also the pastors that were part of the church that I was with over there, they were largely Pentecostals. And I was at a Baptist church over here, so it was a change for me to get used to the different kind of thinking from charismatic kind of thinking. And so I realized that these young pastors, most of them were younger than me, some of them were a bit older, but I realized that I really needed to train them in the Bible, and so I started what I'm trying to do here in Chico is teach the whole Bible through in a year, and where people can really get to know each other, they're around each other, we spend more time at it, and we have field trips and camping trips and really get close, and we really, you know, step out and evangelize, and different kinds of things will be learned, but we were really close then.
In evangelism, what's the most important thing people should know? What is it? The word or relationships? What is it that's the most important thing that's going to bring people to Jesus?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. And
why don't you share with us what those are?
I think the number one thing is you have to love people, and you really have to really have a heart for the person that you're sharing with. And you have to be willing to reach out and face that you might have a friendship for a long period of time when you're evangelizing a person. You don't know whether they're going to accept or not. You start watching the pattern of their life and what they're sharing with you, and all the things that they believe start coming out of their mouth from their heart. And so when you see those things, and you try gently and everything to try and get them to salvation, and you try and share what Jesus did on the cross and how he rose again and the truths of the Bible. And so the Bible is also a key thing there, and the love for them, and really trying to explain the relationship that people need to have with Christ according to his word. And you look at Jesus was out every single day, you know, in the Bible, and John the Baptist was outside, and Paul pretty much was outside preaching. And so you look at the pattern in the New Testament, that people went out, you know, they were reading the Bible, the apostles were dedicated it says, to the Word of God in prayer. Mm-hmm. And then they went outside and they were, you know, abused a lot of the time. You know, their lives were in danger. Almost all of them died. John the Baptist, Jesus, and the apostles, almost all of them were killed for preaching. And when they went into the synagogues and temples, they drew the most fire, and also from, you know, the different idolatrous countries that Paul went to. You know, they didn't always treat him so good, and he had to flee to another city. And as you see, you have all those missionary journeys. So my life's more like that, where God keeps moving around, and people sit next to me on a bus or a train, or I'm in a clergy's car or something like that, and we go to houses, and step by step, we preach the gospel.
Now that you're out here, you want to help build a relationship base of people that can have the same passion, the same heart, the same hunger to reaching people for the kingdom.
Yeah. I'm starting a 3-class-a-week Bible training course to learn the whole Bible in 1 year. And so it's going to start August 3rd. And people that are interested in it, my phone number is 774-8967.
Okay.
And there's 3 classes, one on Monday, Wednesday from 5:30 to 10, and 2 to 7 on Saturday.
When they call you, they can get that information.
Okay. And so you can, we meet, you know, like 3 days a week, and so we're going to have a more intense kind of relationship with God that's going to be like, you know, more than, you know, there's all, you know, different churches, and there's plenty of good ones in Chico where they have their home groups and they have men's studies and things, and people get together for an hour or two, but this is something far more where we're actually, the course is 20 hours a week, but people really get to know each other. They really get close. And so it's trying to build relationships kind of like maybe John the Baptist had with his disciples or Jesus had with his, kind of going with that kind of model of really spending a lot of time with a smaller group of people and, you know, learning evangelism about cults and denominations and all the different topics that you have, that people will have in the course. They can ask them and we'll sit down and discuss them. And okay. We'll be, you know, eating together and having a good time.
Okay, so one of the things you and I talked about before coming on the air today was miracles and healings. Why don't you share some information or share some testimonies on miracles and healings that you have seen in your life that God has done personally in you or for you?
Okay, well, there's been quite a few. You know, I'm not a charismatic, but I really believe in miracles. And so, you know, I'm around people that believe in miracles. And, you know, when I've been sick or something, God has sent me to people that really believe in miracles, and the charismatics tend to believe more than that.
They have a lot of faith.
Yep. But even though I don't share with all their doctrine and everything, I'm more fundamental. I still believe in miracles. And when I had a time in India, and when I first got over there, I was feeding thousands of people. I had more money then, and I was bringing in truckloads of food into a slum. And so I was getting tarps for their houses, cover the roads for the rainy season. They have monsoon there. And so I was in Mumbai, India, and so I was getting these tarps printed up for a couple hundred of these huts and that they had. And I walked out of the shower, and there was a monsoon rain. It was before I got on the plastic, and I prayed, and I said, "Oh, Lord," I said, "can you make this rain stop?" And it was a lightning, thunder, monsoon rainstorm, and instantly it stopped. And so I realized it took my breath away. And so I told one of the guys that was helping me that this happened and that God had answered my prayer and everything. And so one day, again, the rain started, and he was an Islamic fellow, and he was helping me. He spoke some English, so he was helping me with some different things interpreting. And so one day he called me. He says, "You know, in the slum where you live, it's really raining." He goes, "Can you pray and make it stop?" And so I told him, I said, "I'll pray." And I said, "But call me back when it stops." And so I prayed. And he said, when he answered me, he says, "No, it stopped right then." And so I started realizing that because of faith and believing in what Elijah could do, and God says that he was just a man like-minded to us. And when you believe in miracles and you believe in healings, they really happen. One of my neighbors later was demon-possessed. She had been possessed for 21 years. She'd been a Hindu and got involved in witchcraft. And so one day they called me over to her house, and she was talking in a male voice. And she was, you know, kind of frothing. And so I started praying in Jesus' name, and I got in front of her. There's some other people behind me, some other Christians. And so I kind of backed her down in the hallway because they were worried she was going to leave the house. And so in about 20 minutes, the Holy Spirit took me over. He came forward. He started talking through me, and I could feel him there. It's kind of like his arms went down through mine. And so in 20 minutes, I kind of put my arms up, and I And I kind of just let her down back into one of the bedrooms to keep her from running out of the house. And so she wasn't there. There was clearly male voices that were speaking, and it wasn't her at all. And so God told the demons through me, he said, as soon as you look into his eyes, you're going to go out of her. And so sure enough, about 20 minutes later, they looked in my eyes, and they kind of went swirly and crazy, and then she fell to the ground. She said, oh, Pastor, thank you, thank you. And that beautiful woman's voice came back out of her. And so, you know, I had quite a few different experiences where a neighbor, he was a pastor actually, came with two of his friends to that same house that when I was living there in India, and he was hunched over. 10 months, he was living in his apartment, hunched over from 5 blown discs. And we took him to the orthopedic surgeon. We had MRIs, and they said he was going to have surgery. There was no option.
Wow.
And so in that case, we fasted and prayed. I heard a voice at the when we were driving in the taxi home, fast and prayed 3 days. So we did, and he never had the surgery. He was up walking around. And so, you know, I've had quite a few like that over the years. I wish it was all the time. I wish everyone got healed and everything, but I don't know of any place in the Bible. Really, Jesus obviously did most, but, you know, where people hear it, heal every person that comes to them all the time, you know, but healing's there to show that the person's, you know, authenticated by God and to help people and show that they're preaching the gospel. And so I mix it with the gospel and try and get people saved.
I believe everybody that he went to, he healed. Maybe not everybody came
Jesus
to him, but
did,
everybody
certainly.
That he went to, he healed.
Yeah,
I've heard people say that Christ didn't heal everybody, but everybody he went to, he healed.
Yeah, Jesus did. That's true.
So I'm lost without – I have questions in the back of my head, but I don't know how to phrase them. So I want to go back to John. John, I've been seeing you writing a bunch of notes over there, and I've been seeing you listen very intently. What are some things that you want to share in regards to miracles or healings or things that you've seen? Because you are, in a sense, a charismatic. What are some things that you've experienced in as far as healings and miracles and God's touch on people's lives?
Well, I want to say first that it's Jesus Christ who does the healing.
Yes, amen.
And we do the work, and we're there present. As much as anything, we're witnesses, and as much as anything, we are something that is to go through Christ through us. But it is always Jesus Christ who does the work.
None of us are healers or miracle people, right?
Say that again.
None of us are healers or miracle people.
Oh, no. No, it's not us.
It's our faith, though.
It is our faith, but it's Jesus Christ, the person who, he's a person, he's a spirit, he is both.
Yes.
And he works through us.
Yes. You were going to say something? You have something? You're looking at something or something?
When we say, yes, Lord, that's when it happens.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly believe, as Tim was saying, that the beliefs and the faiths today are all around us. And when we can show the truth of Christ and the power of Christ, that's when things change in lives. And we need him. We don't have the power. We just say, yes, Lord, and he works through us.
Don't you think that either one of you chime in on this, don't you think that one of the reasons why people aren't reached and touched isn't necessarily because the gospel's not being preached? It's because we're not allowing the Lord's love to be expressed through us to them so that they can see how much he loves them and how much they mean to him and how much he desires to have a relationship with him? Or do you think it's a lack of preaching? I mean, we could preach all day long, but if we're not showing love, are people going to get won over to Christ? So, Tim, why don't you answer that?
Okay. Well, I would actually say there's a lot of preaching going on. I think more than ever, there's more organizations that are reaching out. But we've got you know, 7 billion people on the planet, and I would say that people need to love more. God said in the end, and a lot of people think we're there in a lot of ways, that the love would many would wax cold and people would be busy, and you know, a lot of different things, TV and movies and Facebook and all these things. And not that all that's wrong. But actually reaching out lovingly to people and really getting involved in their lives. There's people that are very dedicated people, both missionaries and at home, that are really busy. But I think that we have a regular church system now where most people go to church on Sunday, and there's so many people during the week, if people stood up and instead of sitting home watching TV, went out and tried to reach people and families, and you take your children with you, and somehow you just, you know, it can be going to a nursing home, it could be going to an orphanage, it could be, you know, it can be anywhere from street evangelism or however you want to do it, but you just spend your time really reaching out to people and loving them. So I think it's a combination of two things that I find in 20 years that most of the people that sit next to me or on trains and buses or people I meet when I'm outside of church aren't saved. And so I look at the things that they believe, and they're much more confused than before. And I think a lot of the cults and isms and different kinds of things have flourished, and there's a lot more people involved in Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses and things like that. And so it's really a problem, you know, that people don't really have sound Bible teaching. And people, you know, even in Chico, if you looked at the total population and everything, I think that we need to reach out, and the churches need to start working together to save ones. And we need to unify, and really, we could probably reach and get to every person in Chico. You know, at least get the gospel and really work a lot harder at it. But I think there are efforts being made, clearly.
But the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Mm-hmm. The Bible says that they shall see your good works and desire what you have. And the Bible also says that love covers a multitude of sins. So we could have love and not have truth. We could have truth and not have love. Unless the two go together, people aren't going to be reached. And I think a lot of people are brought into confusion because you have people out there that are showing love, but they're not showing truth. Then you have other people out there that are showing truth, they're speaking truth, but they're not showing love. So isn't it important that the two go hand in hand? And if the two were going hand in hand, don't you think more people in this community and in this county and in this country would come to know Christ, or do you think we'd still have the problem?
No, I agree with you. You know, those things can go separately, but they go best, you know, all the different truths of the Bible go together. And in 2 John, or the second epistle of John, and the third, John is talking about truth, and he keeps repeating the word truth over and over. And, you know, Paul talks about having right doctrine. And I find the world over as I travel that even amongst pastors, a lot of them don't study the Bible. You know, some of them do. Really work at it. But a lot of them really aren't reading even books of the Bible. They're not spending a lot of time. Some of them I've found have really spent a lot of time. And so when you sit down and people that really study a lot and really put the time in and they pray a lot, and you get sound commentaries and Bible materials and things from the Christian bookstore, and you really get down to learning the whole Bible, then your doctrine becomes more homogeneous. And you look at the truths that the Billy Grahams and the John MacArthurs and Dr. Jeremiah's have, there's a lot of similarity in the things that they believe because they're studying the Bible. And today, people need to spend more time reading the Bible, less time watching TV, and less time on the internet and stuff.
I would go as far as saying people's focus needs to be on Jesus. I would also go as far as to say that the focus needs to be not on our works, not on our doings, not on how much we read, how much we pray, how much we study, none of that, but how much God penetrates our lives with his goodness, his love, his power, and his truth. And if he's really in us, people are going to see our lives and they're going to want what we have. I know a lot of people, whether blindness, whether they have a hard time with comprehension, so they just don't read. I know people that struggle with studying, but I also know people that love God. And I know people that have a heart for God. And I know people that want to desire to reach out, but maybe they don't have or they don't know where to go as far as opportunities. Or maybe they're homebound, or maybe they're not like myself. For a long time, I was in the house a lot. I didn't go out and wasn't around a lot of people. But if we look at that and say, well, this person doesn't love God because of that, or this person's not shown, or this is taken, I mean, that becomes a judgmental attitude that we carry, and people can see that. And if we're carrying that, why would anybody want Christ if they see that in us? So that's why I'm going back to truth and love. I think truth and love needs to be coupled together. So when people see us, they see that real compassion that we have toward them instead of feeling like we're trying to beat them down because we're not, maybe they're not where we would want them to be. Am I not making sense?
You are.
You want to say something in regards
prayer
to that, John?
I would only add prayer to it, an important element of our interaction, because it is Christ moving through us, and our relationship with Christ is, or God, is established through prayer. So, well, that's a little bit It's a fundamental part.
Because prayer is communication with Christ. And we do need, whether we read the Bible or not every day, we should be praying. We should be asking the Lord to prepare us for opportunities. We should be out looking for opportunities or chances to share the gospel. But just because we're not, I don't want the listeners out there to feel guilt, to feel condemnation, to feel shame, or to beat themselves up because they haven't witnessed somebody in the last couple of weeks. And if you don't have an opportunity, you don't have an opportunity. What I would do is I would pray for God to provide me opportunities and prepare me for the opportunities that he would provide, because I believe there comes every day, Tim, where you were saying that you share the gospel, you try to minister to at least one person, but maybe at the same time you're trying, maybe there's somebody that you're missing, and maybe God might want you to minister to somebody that because you didn't go to a certain location, and I'm saying the same thing about myself. Maybe there was days where I stayed cooped up in my house or in my room and didn't go out. And if I would have went out, maybe there would have been an opportunity I could have had to share it with someone. So I think all this together goes into saying that Christ is love, Christ is truth. If we mean well with him and have a relationship with him, we're not going to be without his love. We're not going to be without his truth. People aren't going to be able to not see his love and his truth in us. And if they're really open, they will come to Christ. I think no matter how much we try to share the gospel, not everybody is going to come to Christ. Even in the Bible, not everybody came to Christ. And I do believe that it's important to share the gospel. I believe it's important to reach people with the truth. But we can't reach people with the truth if their minds and their minds are delusioned or illusioned, if their spiritual eyes are blinded, they're not going to be able to see the truth. So we need to pray that God's love through us would penetrate to the darkest area in their heart, and that would minister to that hurt in their heart, so that and by doing this, we build relationship with them, not because we don't want them to go to hell, but because we love them. Am I not touching on something there? And I'm sorry, I've taken a while, but am I not touching on something there? Am I not sharing something? Tim, what do you feel about what I just said?
There's a lot to it. You know, really, like you're trying to, I think, point to love and obviously mixing it with truth. And that's a real important factor today, you know, is that I think 100 years ago, people reached out more. They sat on their front porch and loved each other and their neighbors. And we had a lot more bonding, I think, even with our neighbors, and maybe we had bigger, more children. And so both those things, like you're saying, need to be brought together. And the truths of the Bible need to be discussed. I think that the laws and these things like that are getting passed and have been getting passed are having to do with the disintegration of the family. And so obviously that's not love. And so we need to even be loving our families more, our marriages. And we need to, I think, go back to some of the old ways that America had 100 years ago, maybe a Little House in the Prairie days, Walton days. And, you know, the families, if you look at the families then, and even look at maybe Happy Days or these things, you know, there was a lot of, you know, a lot of love that they had for each other and the camaraderie that they had, and people held marriage much more sacred then. And so, you know, I think that there's a lot of old things that America needs to go back to.
In the 70s, we had Happy Days. In the 70s, we had the Brady Bunch. And in 2000, we have Married with Children. There's a big difference in relationship and in love and in family. And Al Bundy's not a role model for a father, yet he had a lot of people that loved that show. But I also think that people out there need to know how forgiven, how valuable, how much they mean to God. That God is more concerned about them, more passionate, madly in love with them. He's already forgiven them, and he desires relationship with them. He loves them in spite of themselves. He loves them no matter what wrong they've done, if they'll just turn to him and allow him to shine that light. But I think what happens is we feel like we have an obligation to meet, and that's to win as many people to Christ as we can. So we go out. We try to share in love, but we want to reach, we want to reach, we want to reach, we want to reach. I used to be this way. We want to reach, we want to reach. And I think if we will allow the Lord to reach through us instead of us trying to do it, I think we'd have more of an impact, an inroad to leading people to Christ than are coming to Christ. I think the enemy has got, just as much as he's using the world, I think he's using people in the church to come down with clubs and sticks and on people instead of just wrapping their loving arms around them and encouraging them and saying, you know what, I'm here for you. You know what, I love you. And I think if we did that as a whole, I think we would see more people come to Christ. And I believe that there are more to come to Christ. It was recently that Brother John and I went to a Mario Murillo crusade, and Mario said that God was not finished yet, that there was another revival, another awakening to come. But how are people going to become awakened unless they're awakened by truth? So how might we, Tim, reach out to people in love and truth? What might be some ways that we might reach out to people in love and truth?
Well, you know, I think each believer really has their own way about them, you know, the own people you relate to and other things. And so I think you have to find something, a group or people that you feel comfortable with somehow. So, you know, if you feel comfortable going to a nursing home and finding people, you know, because there's so many people there that get abandoned and things. I had a nursing home ministry years ago. Or you find an orphanage, or you find something that you're comfortable with, something you get involved with, and you find that you start somewhere explaining salvation and the gospel to people, and you bring them stuff. You know, if you were, you start bringing people stuff, and you start, you know, you get them a refrigerator, or you put, you know, make puddings for them when they're diabetic, or you bring, you know, stuff for the kids at the orphanage or whatever, and you really put your heart in, not worrying about the money and the time and all those things, and you really make a project of evangelizing, whatever group that you feel comfortable with, you know, and you just start by just a little bit more, maybe reaching out to people in your life, the ones that you have. And you, because a lot of books say that a lot of people don't share their faith because they don't feel comfortable, because they don't want to, you know, get it, you know, somebody pushing them away. You know, they don't want to make anybody upset. But
that is one of the reasons why people don't share their faith. I'll give you that. Yeah, they're afraid of being rejected.
But the apostles, Jesus and John, all the people in the New Testament that wrote the New Testament, they were spending a lot of time every day out there, outside, explaining salvation, sharing God and what Jesus did on the cross. And so I found that, you know, I was evangelizing right from the beginning, about a year after I got saved, and once I started reading the Bible. And people started accepting, because I gently and as nicely as I could, I got involved with life. I took them out to eat or whatever it was, and I just really didn't care about myself and my resources and my time. And I really got involved in people's lives, and I started giving of myself, and I really started caring about the individual and what was in their heart and what they believed.
That's important, caring about the individual. And then as we build relationship with them, then letting Christ through us reveal himself and share himself. And then hopefully we have the opportunity, or somebody else has the opportunity, then they'll be led to the truth. Am I not correct on that?
Yes.
So I personally want to encourage my listeners today that if you're out there and you're feeling like, you know what, I just don't feel like I'm doing enough for God, get that out of your mind. He's interested in you just resting in what he's done, relating with what he's done, being open to what he's done. He did it. He finished it at the cross. He said it's finished, and a lot of people don't understand what that means. It means you don't have to try to strive. You don't have to try to do all these efforts and works to prove who you are in Christ. God's given us all talents, all gifts. We all have different gifts. Some are called to preach. Some are called to evangelize. Some are called to teach. Some are called to prophesy. And we're not all called to evangelism. I could get books and stones thrown at me, but I believe we're called to love. And I believe if that love leads to evangelism and leads to an opportunity to sharing, but don't beat yourself up because you don't feel that you're called to evangelize. And if you don't know how and you feel that that's your calling, then find somebody that knows how and get with them and evangelize with them. But don't beat yourself up. We have too many people in the church today that are down on themselves, they're hard on themselves, they beat themselves up, they don't feel like they can measure up to God, and they walk away. And they're hurt, they're wounded, they're battered vessels, they're battered ships. But know that Christ is the only one that can hold you together. He's like glue. He holds you together, and when he sticks to you, nothing can unstick you. But I really want to encourage my listeners out there today to be encouraged. Know that Christ does still do miracles. He still does healings. He still loves you. He can, what he did in Tim, he can do in you. And does either one of my guests want to add to that or say something? Or Tim, you want to say something? You have a couple minutes.
Yeah, okay. I wanted to say that, you know, there's a balance in a Christian life. And Jesus said some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And I think when most of us read that, I think most people, when we read about David's story and Goliath, we want to be David and Goliath. And I think when we read 30, 60, 100, we want to be 100. And so there's a balance of all the different things that the Bible teaches to balance our lives. And we talked about truth and love today. And we talked about evangelizing. And so I just encourage people to really read the Bible and get balanced with the books of the Bible, especially, obviously, I'm talking about focusing on the New Testament. And I'm talking about, maybe pushing yourself a little more in some ways, but it doesn't mean that you have to have all this guilt or all these different things, you know, negative things. But just spend more, you know, if you're not reading the Bible enough, read a bit more. And if you're, you know, if you start sharing your faith, you're going to find results. And even though some people will push you away, you just don't let that get to you too much. You know,
yeah.
you know, some days maybe you don't share. You take a break and you kind of focus on your own relationship with God.
Yeah.
Because people, when you do reach out, you know, they will sometimes push you away. You know, they pushed Jesus away pretty good one day. So, you know, all the apostles were reaching out to people. But there was so much fruit by what they did, because from those few men, we get the Christianity, the true Christianity we have today. And if they had not reached out each day and not pushed themselves and not been there for all the people, and they obviously loved everybody that they were, you know, they had a few disagreements, but not too many. You know, they were a unified bunch that really knew each other pretty good.
Love is key.
Mm-hmm.
So, John, you want to say anything else?
Yes. If you don't have a belief in a relationship with Christ, ask God through Jesus Christ to show himself to you. God is, he answers prayer, he answers requests, and he will answer that one.
And if you're praying for someone that you're really concerned about that's lost, don't give up hope. Don't give up praying. Don't give up the faith. You're still reachable. No matter how difficult it seems, I've heard of people praying for people for 15 years before they came to Christ. 15 solid years. And then the person comes to Christ, and guess what? They backed out. They turned their back. They walked away from Jesus. 15 years of praying for someone, and they backed away. Who was where they needed to be with God? But once again, that's just saying that don't give up. Don't burn out. Don't lose hope. And when they come to Christ, definitely don't give up. Definitely be thankful and rejoice in that soul coming to the Lord. And I don't believe that we're out of time. I believe we're close to it. I believe things are winding up. But I believe that there's still some time. And I believe there's people out there that still need to be reached and still need to be touched. So ask God to put somebody before you. And today, we're going to pray that not only God touches you, but we're going to pray God touches those out of your loved ones that need Christ, or if you need a miracle or a healing. And once again, you're listening to Christ Today. Curtis Smith is your host. Our guests have been John Steffens and Timothy Vincent. And if you love this show and you're really happy with listening to it, feel free to call me at 894-7325. I need your feedback. And if you don't think you're going to get in, leave a message. You'd be surprised. We get messages all the time. I need to hear from you. I would desire to hear from you. I love you, and I want to know that you love this show. So feel free to give us a call. Anyways, I'm going to ask who feels led, and not led from a pen or a pencil, but who feels led to pray out and close this show off in prayer.
Let us pray for mercy. Lord,
yes.
Help us with all that we do for you.
Yes,
bring us to situations and let us see that which is in front of us and interact with it faithfully. And for all the situations that we face, we pray for mercy and watch over us.
I pray that God would just bless us, and the changes that are going in America today are affecting the whole world, and I just pray for us as a country. I pray for us that we would please, Lord, that we please take things a little more seriously as a country and the changes we're going through. I pray for us that you would help us, and what people are seeing from us, that some of these things that we're doing, that you get them reversed, Lord, and that maybe we get some really Christian leadership, much stronger Christian leadership for presidents ahead. You know, be neat as somebody like Franklin Graham ran, or something like that, or Greg Laurie, or, you know, some of the pastors, even Dr. Jeremiah's ran, and really got some of these really important things reversed. Lord, just pray for us, for our country, Lord. And I pray for the people of Chico, Lord, for their salvation.
Lord, touch any soul out there that needs you. Reveal yourself to them. Is there anyone that they're praying for that needs you? Reveal yourself to them, Lord, that they may come to know you, God. Till next week, Lord, I just pray that you bless them, and you encourage them, and you be with them. And Lord, next week when we have our next show, that, Lord, we would just be able to do what we did today. And we just give you this and pray for our listeners throughout this next week, that they be encouraged and blessed. In your name we pray. Amen. Next week, my guest is going to be John Dermott, and I'll probably have another vessel from out at the rescue mission. I'm looking forward to talking to you next week. God bless. We
Christ Today is a local nonprofit and non-denominational ministry here on KKXX. You can contact Curtis Smith with your feedback toll-free at 855-930-1045. That's 855-930-1045. And join us every Saturday at 11 here on KKXX for more Christ Today.